Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show. Yeah!
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. It is me, your host, the big time board member, Bob Fallon, the Right Reverend Bobby Love, along with his first co-host, Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are we doing?
I'm all right. I didn't expect that intro. That's the first intro you've done correct for probably since we've done this, eh?
But it's because so I like to get a big time board member in.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's fine. So we can blame you for everything that's gone wrong. That's cool.
Yep, that's absolutely fine. Hashtag Fallon out. Right. and of course, our second co-host, who I believe has changed his name by Deadpool, according to Alec Milne in last programme, Ali Monkcastle. Good evening.
I've been called worse, so maybe Alec's trying to protect my anonymity, maybe. So that's no hard feelings to Alec whatsoever. Does a very good job with the programme. So
He certainly does. It's just one of those rather amusing typos that we had to bring up. Anyway, yes, it's been a couple of weeks since we were last here, Citizens. We're going to go through a few things. Probably as expected, we'll start with the League Cup. 4 defeats. Not the best campaign, but I would suggest there were some positives at times. I'll let Ali go first.
Yeah, I think the League Cup, the way the League Cup structure is, obviously it's very early and there's loads of games in a row and things, and I think a lot of teams make a decision depending on where the squad is, how they're going to treat it. And I think we treated it as pre-season, to be quite honest with you. I don't think there was any real... that nobody seemed too down about the defeats. Obviously, 4 defeats is not good. There were little glimmers of hope, some reasonable moments, but 4 defeats is a sense of disappointment. But I think within the context of how I think the club treated the League Cup, especially considering how far behind we were everybody else in terms of our recruitment and everything, actually. But it was disappointing. But I think in terms of, I'm not too worried. It's not got me more worried about, I think the season will be difficult, but it's not got me more worried about the season coming up. I think the areas where we thought we'd be strong, I think we will be strong, and the areas where we're going to need work or need a bit of luck on our side will still be the case. I think the really key highlights for me was seeing Quinn Mitchell play at left back, you know, play maybe 3 or 4 of the games and equip himself really, really well. That was excellent to see him play. Obviously, Ryan Shanley's form was sensational, not just his goals, his kind of all-round play. The problems it caused some very good defenders. And it just looks like he looks set up for an absolutely tremendous, absolutely tremendous season. In terms of the new signings, I thought Leach looked really good. Hugely, hugely impressive. The manager seems really keen on him, seems really keen to bring him in. So that's looked really good, actually. So I think those are the positives. Some decent individual, some better than decent individual performances. It didn't go how we wanted it to, but I'm not getting too upset at the moment, I should say.
Well, that's fair enough. Really?
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah. Well, let's not get upset about it. It's a bunch of friendlies. Move on. We knew how short we were anyway, so let's say. You look at the Ross County. I mean, the other one I really watched was the Ross County game, so. And you watched that, and as much as they were a lower bottom tier Premier League team, but even then, they were so far apart, it was crazy at times, so. But, full-time training, that makes a big difference. But as Ali says, it's not going to have any detrimental impact on our season. It just highlighted what we needed, and everybody knew what we needed. And we're probably later to the party getting that in compared to other teams because it weren't happened in the summer. So, yeah, we'll lose sleep over it. Some nice experiences. Might have been nice to go to Dingwall and have a wee day out. Weekend away, Maybe not quite a day. I've done it as a day. It's quite a hard day. But apart from that, yeah, won't lose any sleep.
Aye, I mean, no secret the fact I despise the League Cup as a tournament anyway. I always have done. I think it's just a waste of time. Adds extra fixtures that probably teams don't really need. Especially when they used to spread it over the course of a season rather than having it finished by October or November when it used to be in the oldie Skull Cup days. Obviously, I get the fact that we get a little bit more money now because it's the groups and all that kind of stuff, and the more positions you go, the more money you get. But, and especially now because we probably need a wee bit of extra cash. But I just find that a wee bit dull. That's probably the best way to put it.
It's the club's fault, though. You know, it's not so much a, dare I say, the club's near the top of the chain. It's the club's near the bottom of the chain because nobody wants to play a friendly.
Well, that's maybe that too. Aye. I mean,
that's
it's competitive.
After that, all, you know, that's why it changed all those years ago, because nobody wanted to play friendlies.
Aye. I mean, it's a competitive friendly tournament for the first group, for a lot of the group. Yeah. That's essentially what we had to do this year because we're a bit behind the curve anyway. Our all four games, the least said about the capitulation against Celtic, the better. I don't think they get. I mean, it's the angriest I've ever seen Alan Mabry, put it that way, and I think he was quite right to be angry. Again, though, we did have a chance to go 4-0 up, which probably put the game to bed. A lot of individual errors making daft goals. That Darramoa boy looks pretty decent, though, got to be said.
Yeah.
Although, in saying that, without wanting to sound churlish, she was gifted 2 goals at the same time. Sarnava were absolutely shocking. I mean, there's no getting around that. There's a couple of the boys who I will not name, just didn't look interested at all. It's a long way to Stranraer. I get that. That drive down there was long, lengthy, and nice. I'm scenery, mind you. Nice to get down there for the first time and whatnot, and the social club was quite nice. But, I mean, we had a chance to go 2-1 up, which probably would have saw Stranraer fold a wee bit, I think, because they weren't any great shakes. Architects were run downfall there again. Yeah, it was Ross County. I thought we played all right in bits, considering the full-time team.
Yeah.
And I was at Greenock against Morton. It was never a 4-1 game. Dougie Emily said it was never a 4-1 game. Alan Mabry said it was never a 4-1 game. I think that's a fair assessment of the game. A couple of the 20s came in, a couple of individual mistakes, lost goals. To be expected, they're only like 17, 18, they're low, old, barely experienced. And that's really what the difference was. I mean, Dougie Emery was probably the angriest man in Scotland during that game because all he did was stand on that touchline and shout obscenities to his players. He was absolutely furious the entire game. Maybe a wee bit less furious than I was because there was no drinking water, but hey-ho, that's another story. I'm not really that fussed. It was good to see some of the 20s getting some game time. Well, I'm a big fan, obviously, Gordon Radd. I think everybody knows that. Struan kept himself well. Young Brodie Devine played well. Quinn Mitchell's obviously going to be the star out of all that, no question. Alan Mabry's really high in him. We're all really high in him. I thought he was fantastic against Ross County.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His first proper experience of playing against a full-time team, against a pretty tricky player down that right, and he equipped him. He was really, really good. I mean, he played very, very well. So I can easily see why the gaffer's quite excited about him. And hopefully that can he can push Kieran McDonald for the left back spot. Actually, I'd probably just play him just now, maybe. Just over the last couple of games, it's one of those things that he's played so well. I don't know if it's really fair if he was to get dropped, really. But I don't know if you want to go with experience of that. Then that's that. But that's the League Cup done and dusted. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, as you guys said. Obviously, we can't. It's one of those things as well. It's not like the league where you can play trialists to make up the numbers or anything like that. Some decent individual performances. Innes played quite well, I think, in a couple of the games. Ryan Shelley certainly did. For all the experts on social media, I was like, oh, it's going to be a tough time because John Robertson's away. Well, they probably forgot about Ryan Shelley, to be quite honest. So that's fine. League Cup's done. We can say it's done. We can cross that off and wait till next season for another hugely exciting draw.
we might get a great draw next year. Don't be too
thick with it. Come on. Could do, could end up being like,
or we could end up getting
St Mirren again or something.
I know, exactly.
But yeah. Kind of your luck, we'll probably get like Hamilton and St Mirren and somebody else crap. Hibs.
Let's worry about that next year. Anyway, it's all
waiting. Anyway, aye. So as the season has the proper season has started. I don't think any of us were still on duty other commitments, but a narrow loss. How do we see the season going, Mr. Rooney?
I try and be positive, and I used to could be negative. Looking at the squad, I think barring a right back, I think our squad's pretty strong. Dare I say it? Then you choke on your water, as Bob's drinking the water for those on listening on YouTube. Listed on everything else, not on YouTube. Barring an orthodox right back, Jacobs is Marmite. Some folk like him, some don't. I don't mind him. I think he does a job. Got to remember he's a central midfielder. He's probably more of a stopper than anything. You know, and he's maybe not been like that in his younger days, but I think he's doing a job at right back. You can certainly see that against Ross County going, you know, if you play against anybody with real pace, you've got Kieran Bryan. But Kieran's been out for such a long, long time. So it's whether somebody goes out on loan to get another right back, because you've seen it at the weekend, looking at the highlights, it seemed to be it was just All City rather than anything else. And the boys scored a cracking free kick. So I'm certainly a lot more optimistic now than what I was. I think a right back is probably going to be a priority, but knowing like at this level, it's going to have to be somebody that can play right back, that can stroke play centre half or play in the middle of the park as well. I mean, it's two goalies. If you, I was trying to look on our website, but it's not there. So I found our squad. So McNeil and Quaid is goalies, and it's got Wilkie. Did we find out if we relate to Lee Wilkie?
Yes, aye.
That's the goalie. Lee Wilkie, Ben Stirling, if Touchwood Ben can stay fit, Fontaine, Hamilton. That they're down the centre halves, but you know you'd have Mercer as a centre half, wouldn't you? And then like some McDonald, Crane, Quinn, Mitchell. The only one that's down as a right back is Kieran Bryan, but Lewis Spence looks pretty good. Jacobs will do us a job. Leach looks good. Ennis looks good again. Robbie Mann, we'll see how he comes on and plays a winger. Oh, folks signing wingers. That's brilliant. Danny Hanlon offered as well, who's very highly rated. Shanley, McLean, and then if Mr. Love Island's comes off the telly at any point and joins in instead of just being on the telly. So I think we're actually as, dare I say it, I think we're quite a strong position, barring a right back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say there's room for optimism. Don't quote me, but folk will. So it's fine.
Hi, Ali.
I think I would take eighth. Like I would bite your hand off for eighth just now, to be quite honest with you. And if you look at the league, it does look like I think Annan will struggle actually. They don't seem to have done much at all coming up. Which is a bit odd, a bit surprising. They've been waiting for, I don't know, 15 years or something like that to get promoted. Now they don't really seem to have made much of a run at it. But you don't know the kind of finance much. We've been the easiest place to get players to go to other than from the north of England. So that might, maybe that'll come later. But I think they will struggle. I think they don't look to have done a huge amount. But, you know, Falkirk will probably finally go up this year. Hamilton looked okay.
Last year as well, didn't we?
No, I know. But I think this is probably Falkirk's last shot at their current model, kind of full time. You might think they'll be in serious bother if you don't go up this time. Hamilton look a bit better. It's going to be a really tight division. To be honest with you, I'm just trying to think who else we could realistically hope to finish ahead of. Initially, Kelty people thought, well, you know, Kelty's money's disappeared. They might struggle, but I don't think they've done too badly in terms of building a little bit of a a little bit of a squad. Not 100% sure Montrose, but you know they've got two of the best strikers that we've seen in the lower leagues in the last however long. So like they're going to be dangerous. Broadly, I think the squad's not too bad. I've got some concerns about up front, especially if Shanley's not fit. I don't think you can rely on Shanley for the whole season. I don't mean that as a having a dig at him for that. I just think in terms of like you could easily get injured, loss of form, all that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure what else we do up there. I don't know what's happened. Nobody knows what's happened with Uzi, really, to be honest with you. You know, and he's got to look after himself. I don't get why we've signed Russell McLean, if I'm honest with you. Hope to be proved wrong, but I absolutely do not see it one little bit. Like, I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again. But for me, I don't understand it. Maybe it's physical presence, but
his goal scoring record in League One's actually pretty decent. It's like 1-3. So I can understand possibly why he signed him. He looked really good against Celtic, it must be said. And I thought in the Stranraer, the first half against Stranraer, he linked up pretty well with Shanley, Murray and Robbie Mann. So I think his problem really is if he can stay fit, because he had quite a bad ankle injury. So
Dare I say it, and he wasn't great. Blair wasn't great. Henderson, being the big physical striker, you know.
No, he certainly wasn't, no.
Sometimes no. Jumped and he was smaller when he jumped, but...
He was 6 feet four and he jumped 5 feet two.
At times, you know, as long as it wasn't too rough and tumble, but he could be physical when he had to be, do you know what I mean? And just roll a centre-half the right way and all that sort of stuff and back in. Many times you miss that. I mean, you got that out of Shanley and Robbo because the wee short guys and are getting wired in. You know, that's what they do, but you sometimes need that big guy. And I think McLean will give us a good option, to be honest.
I am yet to be convinced, as you can tell. So we'll see. I'm not sure where the goals will go. If Shanley doesn't go in, I'm not sure where the goals will go. I think that when you look at the midfield, I think you've got some really, really exceptional players in midfield. You know, players who can easily manage at this level. It'll be interesting to see how the manager sets up. There's not a lot of natural width in the team, really. I know Innes has been playing on the right-hand side, but not wide. Sometimes Danny starts on the left. Obviously, Danny's not going to stay out, not going to stay out left. Lewis Spence has come in and is really highly rated. I thought looked good from the highlights on Saturday. But he's obviously a central player. Leach plays centrally, kind of gets forward. So it feels like we're going to have lots of midfielders getting forward to support. So maybe that's where McLean comes in, possibly if he can hold the ball up. But I think when we look back to a few months ago when there was all the turmoil with the club, the squad is 1,000 times better than we thought it was going to be then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's you know night and day to what we expected to have. I still think this will be a really, really difficult season for us. Like I think last year we overperformed and kind of regressed a bit to the mean towards the end of the season. I think this will be an incredibly hard season. I think we concede too many goals, to be honest with you. The new goalie looks good, but I think there are challenges there as well. It just doesn't feel overly settled. I don't like Kieran McDonald playing at right back, to be honest with you. I don't like players being on the wrong side at full back. I think the first touch is inside tough and it brings you into trouble. And then actually McDonald got in trouble to give away the free kick for Stirling's goal on Saturday. So there's lots of things to work through. But I think eighth would be a huge success. I really do. And I do wonder where people's expectations within the club are. But for me, eighth would be absolutely fucking buzzing with eight. Like to be realistic, like I really would. And I think last season is maybe just maybe confuse things slightly. And look, the two teams that went down last year were complete dog shit. Like Clyde and Peterhead were absolutely honking last season. I think Annan will struggle, but not to that extent. There's nobody else, unless it's us. unless it's us, it's going to be talking about it. I don't think there's anyone else as poor as those two or that will be there. So it will be I think it's going to be a much tighter division this year as well. Falkirk, way ahead. Hamilton, put it up there. Queens should be more consistent this year. Find out on Saturday, I guess, what they're like. And then I think it would be chaos after those three, to be honest with you. We'll just see where the chaos takes us.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I do have some, I think we've all got concerns. I would take an eighth, but then I would have taken an eighth last year as well. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It just so happened we performed, as you say, probably far beyond anybody's expectations. Let's be brutally frank here. We were well ahead of where anybody thought we should have been. I think I do have some concerns with the forward line, mainly because if Shanley's getting injured, where they come and fill, like you said, he's never scored anything more than about six or seven this season anyway, through injuries or not playing enough, let's be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Will he have a breakout season? I think probably yes. He looks so far he looks like he's well up for it. Let's be fair. He looks well up for it and he looks like he's going to take over that Robertson mantle. Because let's be honest, nobody thought John Robertson was going to be scoring 17 goals last year. Nobody.
No. Do you think
no.
The battle is because he knows he's going to be the main man, eh?
Aye. Right. And that got his move to Linfield. So problems there. McLean, if he stays fit, his record at League One's actually decent enough. Uzi, who knows? Offered, apparently, the Alawa fans rated him pretty highly last year. The St Mirren fans rated him pretty highly. He could be the diamond in the rough, so to speak. Midfield, I've got absolutely no concerns about at all, really, depending on somebody gets injured, I guess. I mean, the width we've got will be Robbie Mann, who looks pretty decent when he plays, actually. You know what I mean? He looks okay. He looks lively in the ball. He's fast. He heads up. You know what I mean? He's aware of what's going on. I believe the Dunfermline fans were really keen on him last year. He just didn't play enough for them. Defensively, I would say is probably where I'm really concerned about across the board. McNeil's going to have a good season. He looks decent. I pulled off some really good stops at Morton. I can see why he's rated pretty highly. I think right back's a problem. I think left back's a problem. I'm much of your opinion on Russell McLean as much my opinion on Kieran McDonald, if I'm being absolutely honest. There's times when I watched them last season, I just thought, I'm not sure why the Red fans were distraught I'm leaving. And then at times when they could play right back last year, I thought he should have done a little bit better. If Lee Hamilton's going to stay fit, great. I think Lee Hamilton, I think we're all pretty much fans of Lee Hamilton. How many games we're going to get out of Fonts, who knows? You're hoping as many as possible. But that's another year on his legs. He's had a pretty bad injury. What's going to happen? Is Mercer going to be able to come in and cover for him? Who knows? Right back could be anybody. I mean, James Craigan last year, who was a central midfielder, and he played very well because he's a very good player. Is it going to be Jacobs? Is it going to be Kieran Bryan? Is it going to be a loan sign-in? Is it going to be somebody else?
Yeah.
Who knows? Let's be fair. I don't know. If any one of them regular back four goes down, they've not really got reinforcements there, I don't think. There's not really anybody in the 20s that I can think of that's going to be playing.
No.
Right back, you know, we've not got anybody like a Quinn who plays right back. Although I've not seen the 20s this year yet. But I would have suspected they would have had somebody in anyway if it was. So, I mean, it's not to be too downhearted or anything, but I think what everybody has to remember, and we'll touch on this probably later on too, we were trying really to get 6 months of work into 2 months.
Yeah.
Right. And it's shown with stuff off the pitch and it's shown with stuff on the pitch as well. And I think we just have to be pragmatic as fans. And that's everybody. It's not just us who's sitting here yapping about it. I think as a whole entire fan base, because there are people who get a bit grumpy or whatever else, blah, 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 or outsiders, especially outsiders who don't really know what went on. Not saying like our fan base, but those who look in who have like something like this that they can Gabon, or they have a platform they can speak about and all that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody like them really knew. They just saw, like, oh, Tom's left, money man's away. That means it's all going to go to shit. I don't think they realised how much time and effort and how much like behind the cover we are over that period, and how close things were at that time, which we'll discuss on our special pod at some point, and how that's all had to be compressed into what you're talking, like 25 weeks of work at 8-8, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why League Cup was a wee bit flat, because you couldn't quite get the players in you wanted, because we weren't sure quite how the budget was going to go. You weren't quite sure who's going to release who and when, and so on and so forth. So I think, as Alan said in his interview, he said you could tell things were a bit disjointed because there's a lot of guys have just come back from injury who didn't play a lot, or they're new guys in the team, they've not quite had a couple of training sessions and all that kind of stuff. Once that gets going, they should be better. Because I think he's quite keen in the squad being, he thinks, I think anyway, that the squad this season overall is probably better than last season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really disagree.
No.
I don't think. I think man for man, maybe. I mean, the majority of the last season squad are still there, let's be fair. It's only really Robertson and Much that's gone, that were regulars.
Fagan.
Yeah,
Fagan's a huge mess. He is a massive mess. Because he was one of the best players in the division. He's amazing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I made his guy, but Judas, aye. So sorry.
No, like he was one of the best players in the division and was really crucial to the way the team played. But like the manager and the board have done amazingly.
Absolutely.
to get the squad to where it is. Like you're exactly right, but it's hard to look from the outside and get a true picture. But just three of us on this podcast to get to where we are just now is a miracle. Like it did not look remotely possible at all. And we've had a bit of insight into how the manager's been able to do it and things like that. And clearly players are wanting to come and play for him, which is great, you know, which makes it. We were probably a wee bit lucky that a few of the guys were still signed on. They were still signed on for a couple of years. We had a bit of a decent rump there that were already committed. But like I think it's just gonna be a tough division. But I think if we can get away, that midfield is so good. There are so many good midfield players in that team. If we can get a way of playing that brings the best out of those players, that gets those players forward, that gets those players being aggressive, like, you know, Diego Simeone's old Atletico Madrid, when his good Atletico Madrid team was, you know, it was like four centre midfielders, basically, and they were super aggressive, pressing, they were getting forward, they were
causing, yeah.
Like, that's obviously not the model, but you know what I mean? There is, the manager can find a way to get the best out of those players. We don't have natural width, really. And we don't have that from the fullbacks either. Sometimes you would think, oh, can the fullbacks get forward?
Well,
no, I don't think so. Kieran McDonald can on the left-hand side if he plays there, but we, you know, and I like Kieran Bryan. I hope if he's fit, tremendous. I'd be more than happy to have him at right back, but you know, you can only have so much of the lad. He's had a horrendous, horrendous time of it. We don't have a lot of width in the team, but I think I will be much happier this season if I can just see how it fits together. Mm-hmm. I think there is something there, and I like the manager a lot. I rate him really high. He's a huge credit to the club, and a huge positive for the club. Just would like to just see how it fits together. I think there is something. There definitely is something there. We'll just have to see if the manager can make it all work. And I think he probably can.
I was going to say two things on that. The one player I think we've all just forgot about is Callum Crane, who makes a wonder of difference when he plays.
Yeah.
And I noticed that against Ross County, and I noticed that before he went off injured against Morton, how much of a difference he makes when he plays in the middle, or even if he plays at centre-half, or even if he plays at left-back. He's almost an unsung hero, I think, really, because he just goes out there, he must be a duty player, actually, he must be a duty manager, just goes out there, right, son, you just play there, right, oh, boy, no bother, boss, and he goes out and he plays, and he gives you a 7 out of 10, or 7 or 8 out of 10, pretty much every week,
yeah.
And nobody really notices much, because he's just Callum Crane,
right?
And I think, as you said there about Alan Mabry, I think the biggest signing, like, in very common, biggest signing was making sure Alan stayed for another year,
Yeah,
and that he didn't go.
definitely.
And he could, well, within his rights, and I think everybody would have understood if he had had. But I think that's probably a measure of him as a man, that he decided, no, I'm going to stay and try and follow this through. And it's, I think he is a very talented manager, and we'll talk about the Q&A a little bit down the road today. But you can tell he's a thinker.
Yeah.
He's definitely a thinker about the game and how everybody fits. And you could tell that in his post-match interview on Saturday. He's like, this is on me because I didn't quite have it right. So it's like, I haven't quite got where I want everybody to be from what I had.
Yeah.
So you can tell he's already thinking about, right, this is where somebody's going to have to play, or I'm going to have to move this, or I might have to change a formation here. Aye. So, aye. Rooney?
No, I totally agree. I think I kind of agree with him. I think if he gets a right back in, or somebody that can we talk about guys that can play there. Ben Sterling can play there, you know, but as well, you know, another guy that's injured. So we maybe do have a bit of depth there. But if you got a proper right back in there that can help with Keenan, I understand where you're coming from, goals, but I think we would be okay. And I'll say we'll get sixth.
Don't like Rooney to be optimistic, eh? Jesus. So that's kind of the season preview and the kind of squad chat done. In terms of the squad, you will have noticed that one of our, well, what we will say is a key player in Danny Handling has re-signed for 2 years. That'll be 8 years by the time he's finished testimonial territory, providing he lasts all that time. I think, obviously, well, no real secret, I'm a huge Danny Handling fanboy. But the one thing I would say is that, like, in terms of, like, the new regime and all that, I thought was a ringing endorsement for the new ownership, that the fact that such a key player and such a respected player about the club has decided to carry on for 2 years. I think that's a huge big deal, and it should have sent a big message to the wider community. I think that someone of Danny's standing is willing to carry on. I think that's a huge thing for us. I think it's a huge thing for the new guys that have come in to get the club after Tom left, that Danny's willing to stay. I think last year he performed really well. He's always really performed quite well, but he's got to set another standard. I think he started the game this year really well. The one thing I will note, much like we said in the last pod, about he's kind of taking on a bit more responsibility and kind of maturing a little bit, is throughout the Morton game, and I believe he did it on Saturday as well, is he made sure all the players went to applaud the away fans. Some folk may go, well, what does that make a difference? Well, it makes a difference if you're travelling through, just for the players to give you a wee acknowledgement. And it's not, it doesn't take much of their time, it's 30 seconds just to come round, go to the away end, give you a wee round of applause and go. But twice he's made sure that everybody went over. And I think it's appreciated that he does that. But I think it's more or less saying that where he is now is that his position within the squad and the club, that he's doing things like that. Ali?
Yeah, agreed. I think he's for anyone at this level to stay this long at a club is rare indeed, and you know, to show his commitment that he obviously enjoys what the club are doing. I think he said he's kind of grown and matured as a player. We were just talking earlier about goals. He had a decent season last. He had a really good period last season for goals. We could do with him doing that again, and he's got that ability, like he does. You know, whether it's from set pieces, whether it's kind of just getting into the box, he's just got that. He's got that quality. He's such a composed player. You know what? There should be a decent amount of legs around him this year as well. Lots of players running off him and things like that. So he should be, you know, you want Danny to pick those passes, get into good positions. And like you said, I think the fashion in like English football and all that kind of stuff now is about leadership groups. I think this is often the phrase. So if we have a leadership group, I don't know if maybe he's bought into that or not, Danny would certainly be it. No doubt about it at all.
Yep, really?
No, yeah. Good to keep him, good to get him signed up a bit longer. He's obviously settled, and maybe these guys having to work as well and things like that. So he's obviously settled in his work life balance. So yeah, Really, and you know, be a big asset this season.
Aye, so yes, all delighted that Danny's resigned. No more so than me. No, he's not been getting a steady hassle on Twitter over the last few weeks and that. So he's obviously quite happy. He wasn't complaining about Man of the Match awards and not getting any this year. So he's already got the award for last year. So he doesn't have to complain all the time that he's not got an award. So there we go. moving on. We all three of us attended Alan Mabry's Q&A. It was at the City Social Club. It was a membership thing. For those that didn't attend, the way to get to the Q&A is by signing up as a member. You'll see that promoted on the website and fan base and social media. Obviously, a membership started at $10 and all that kind of stuff. Just thought I'd get the plug in anyway, in case anyone wanted to sign up. Would you be doing my board duties if I didn't? I thought it was... I mean, there wasn't many of us, to be honest. It was a bit short notice, but I actually thought having a smaller group benefited. I thought it allowed Alan to be quite measured and thoughtful and candid in his thoughts, because as you've probably seen yourself in various videos, especially when it's like that folk up Q&A a couple of years ago when it was just an absolute rabble. I'm surprised there wasn't folk chucking shoes at Gary Holt and all that kind of stuff with the chairman and whatever else was going on. So having a smaller group, I thought, was actually good. I'll let you go first before we go further into that. I do believe, before anybody asks, I believe Dave has recorded that and he will be transcribing it for members. Obviously, I know from bitter experience through dissertations and all that and interviews, transcribing takes a long time. A very long time and is absolutely laborious. So hopefully it will be out at some point. But anyway, Ali.
Yeah, I think when they started the membership scheme at the start of this year, this is exactly the kind of thing that should be part of a membership scheme, because it was just so good to have access like that. It was an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, that the manager sat and spoke to us. Couldn't have been, you know. I don't think he was holding anything. I don't think he was holding anything back. And you know, he's played at a really high level, played with some really, really good players, and is a highly qualified coach as well. So it was just great to sit down and get a bit of insight into his way of thinking. Obviously it was for members only, but I think, you know, it's all right to say things like, he's much more into the kind of data analytics side and using some of the technology than I thought he might be. Runs through a lot of talk about using that to kind of to not replace scout work on teams, but to try and, you know, he's come down from full time team where you would have, you know, full time football and things where you would have had people whose jobs it was to do this. And he's tried to be, he's obviously trying to bring that professionalism, that level into part-time football, and he's using some of the kind of the technology to do that, which I thought was really interesting, actually, and just trying to find ways to help get that message across to the players. But it was, like I said, it was exactly the type of thing. And if the membership scheme is going to be a success, you know, this is the kind of stuff the club needs to do and needs to make sure it's promoting, and, you know, that's part of our job. But, you know, I mean, I think it's right for us to talk about how good an event it was, how worthwhile it was. So exactly the right thing to do. Hugely impressed by the manager. In terms of the way he played. But I think you mentioned earlier, Bob, just how much of a thinker he is. He's not just like, all right, go out and sign good players, get them in the park, see what they can, and let them do their thing. It's not like that at all. There's obviously a lot of focus going into how he prepares, how he sets up the team, how he delivers his messages, what the makeup of the team is. But was the only sour note of the night was getting we were promised signing news to be revealed exclusively at the Q&A. So everyone was very, very excited for a signing that was not announced at the Q&A because the SFA paper was holding up. About a week later or something, that Lewis Spence signed, and he looks like a great signing. We're all delighted that that was meant to be. That was meant to be released to us at the event. But No, full credit to the manager for giving up his time, full credit to the club for arranging it. Good to do more things like this. It's just trying to let people see what the benefits of the membership scheme are. And I think it's something we need to just keep pushing in the club and just keep talking about, finding ways to reach out to people who come to the odd game. You know, okay, maybe not season ticket, but are you interested in the membership? If you only get to an odd game, that should works out okay. If you take out a membership because you get a discount on matching tickets and things like that, if you get a bit of merchandise, actually it might work out not too bad, to be honest with you. It's not really, even at the £10 a month one, and you get access to things like that, which, you know, really, how often have people been able to sit down for an hour and a half and ask any question you wanted of someone who's played at the level that Alan maybe has played at? So I thought it was a great event, really enjoyed it, and just do what the club come up with. What was next?
Yep.
No, yeah, just to echo Ali, didn't fully appreciate how much attention to detail he would go into. And he's, as you say, he's obviously used to having so many guys above him now. When he's been at full time teams, other people would do it, but he, you know, he'd do that, take that ownership on himself, and very meticulous with what he does. So, I was really impressed. Like, I've listened to him before and followed him because he signed for Hearts and stuff. So I know the script to him, you know, and being at Leeds and things like that. So yeah, no, I was really impressed how he came over. You could tell a few times we were asking stuff and he wanted to be a bit more blunt, but you know, he had a quite a good level of professionalism. But I thought the event went really well rather than obviously, they were set up on stage, ready to just do it on stage. I know they sat on stage, but you know, even if we were all around a big table next time, you know, I think it'd be pretty good. You know, it's a bit more informal, a bit more personable. But, you know, which I thought was really, really good about it, rather than, as you say, the Falkirk one's a prime example, because that's made the news because it was horrendous and there was hundreds of folk there shouting and going mental. So, as we did say, you know, that might be different when there's 12 of us giving them dogs abuse because we're bottom of the league at Christmas and we've not got a point or something. Hopefully not, but yeah, no, I was really impressed. He came across really, really well. It's certainly a great initiative for the club to do. Hopefully next time it'll be a bit more in advance, but for letting people know. But you know, I was really impressed. I thought it was really good.
Aye, I mean the only drawback I thought of the night was the fact that it was only a few days in advance for some people, which probably contributed to slightly lack of numbers. But just to echo what you guys said, I mean, Alan as a player, was very 110% smack things in the way, kick folk. Well, he wasn't like a dirty player, didn't mean like that. But you know what I mean?
No,
He was
I
full bodied. You know what I mean? He was full bodied. 110%, you knew what you were getting. He was a very good player. I thought he could play both sides of the pitch as well. You know what I mean? And then you listen to him speak and you're like, that's the total opposite of what you would expect, Joe. He's so, I find him so impressive to listen to him. You know, he's meticulous in his planning. He's very eloquent. You know, he knows what he wants out of the game. The one thing I remember right at the end, I said, like, the one thing I'll thank you for is your absolute honesty, you know what I mean, refreshing honesty in post-match interviews. That James was like that, James McDonough was like that. You know, there's other managers who aren't so honest and kind of just go around the hooses or talk rubbish. And obviously, well, I'm going to break too much of a metal there when he says, well, sometimes maybe I'm a bit too honest, but well, mainly because, but he also says there's no point lying to you guys because you know if we've played rubbish and you know if we've played well, so there's no point kind of skirting around it and going, oh, I thought we played really well when we were rubbish. He says, that's no point. He says, no point in doing that. He says, that's just, it's, well, I never seen it so many words, but that's just taking the piss at the fans, really, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I think it's a good, I think it was a great initiative to do. I think we maybe a monthly is a bit too much, but more of them would be good, even if it was a player Q&A or something like that. You know, like, I don't know, for example, Liam Fontaine, who's the captain, who comes across really well when he speaks. You know, another very eloquent, intelligent man, it sounds. You know, the way he spoke after that, the Morton game, I thought was hugely, hugely impressive. Just the way he spoke about the 20s and all that kind of stuff, saying like, yeah, it was a mistake, don't worry about it, kind of idea. I mean, there's things he can do to help. I think it's obvious that he's probably someone that the management team lean on as well for that experience. So yeah, more of these kind of Q&As, I think it's worth its membership alone. Obviously, you get the other discounts, like discounts on sponsors or discounts on merch and discounts on tickets and season tickets and all that kind of stuff. But these are the ones that make your membership worthwhile, I think, just wee events that get everybody together and you can hear what's going on. So more of them, please, club. I will be asking when the next one is and hopefully get a wee bit more in advance, even if it was the chairman. We can all give him a roasting. Because he said that then. He's like, you have time for a roasting, John? And he's like, no. I think hopefully we'll get sent out to members that didn't make it. It was very impressive, and I encourage anybody who wants to attend to kind of get the membership, even if it's just a £10 one, because £10 doesn't sound a lot, but lots of £10 add up. As I know myself with other kind of fans trusts and all that kind of stuff for the Monarchs, that we contributions do end up making a difference. So I maybe what else were we going to talk about? There was something else. What was it?
So professional.
This is what happens when we don't have an agenda. We thought we'd do it again, just wing it. We thought we'd wing it like we did the last time, and it's worked out quite well. It just so happens that when there is something else you need to talk about and you've not written it down.
Merchandise
and ships and all that. Right.
Obviously, like you said earlier, that the club's trying to do everything in such a short period of time, when normally we'd have a year in advance. So.
Yes, the one thing I can say, obviously, in the fan rep role is that I know the club have been trying their hardest in various areas. It's not like they're sitting on their hands doing nothing, especially when it comes to the strips and merchandise. I know it's not ideal. It doesn't look ideal, but they are working their absolute backsides off to make sure that all that kind of thing is in place and soon. Obviously, there was a hold up because of the change of ownership that put us behind a little bit in terms of negotiating shut deals and all this kind of thing. I think actually delay eventually has kind of won us a watch by getting Hummel for 3 years. I think it was 3 years what John said on the website, wasn't it? In many ways, we've kind of looked out with that because it's probably going to be a better standard at the top than we had previously.
Yeah.
I don't think people were hugely keen on the Macron tops. They look nice, but were a nightmare to get.
Yeah.
The Joma tops are just general Joma tops.
Unless you're buying, dare I say it, like our neighbours have, so unless you're buying thousands and thousands, it's a struggle. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Hummel, and even in a little bit in the PR, they seemed quite keen.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they were getting it. Well, maybe we are, but it didn't sound like they were getting it the whole, just another team was great for us, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like anything like that, yeah. So, aye, we've probably done things like that. There's loads of other things going on that I'm probably not able to discuss, but I can assure fans who are listening that there is a lot of work going on. It has been an absolute whirlwind of a couple of months, and I can say that hand on heart that I don't think I've ever taken as many phone calls and messages and emails and whatever else over the last few weeks. It's starting to calm down a little bit now because the season's underway and things are getting going and things are in the place and all that kind of stuff. But I will tell you now, it has been quick for everything getting into place. The guys behind the scenes have done a huge, huge, massively great job. Yes, there are still things to iron out. Yes, there are things that can still be done better and whatever else. But considering where they were, how it ended up getting landed on them, I think they've done an absolutely exemplary job of getting us to where we are. I think that also goes credit to the players who have hung around and to the gaffer and his coaching team as well, who have kind of all taken it in their stride, really. And I think it's a mark of their professionalism as well that they've kind of got on with the job, regardless of the difficulties of the difficulties and challenges that are going on off the pitch. In terms of my role, I've not still quite ironed out exactly what we're doing. We've got a rough idea. But obviously, because things have been that busy, it's kind of hard to get everybody pinned down, really. But as I said in the last, I think I said in the last pod, if anybody wants to speak to me, email me. I've got the email now, fansrep@edinburghcityfc.com. I'm on Twitter. It's not getting called X. It's Twitter. Elon can stick up his arse. And Twitter, it's @ECFCFanRep. I will be at games as well. Please do not hesitate to come and see me. I will be there on Saturday, and I'll be missing the next couple. Well, in fact, maybe a wee bit longer than a couple. Duty holidays and work commitments. Yeah, you fucking shut up, really. Shaking your head there. Unfortunately, I'm away for 2 weeks, and then I'm working for 2 weeks. I have to pay the bills somehow. So don't hesitate if there's anything else. One of these two dafties will probably be about as well. They can maybe pass on any messages with a friendly smile and a thanks very much. Anything else we need to add? Is there anything else you boys want to jump in with there?
No, nothing for me. I'm okay.
No, I'm just looking forward to that. Looking forward to the first home game of the season. That'll give us a good indication of where we are. Squad looks pretty settled now, I think. I know we've talked about it, but I don't think a huge amount of changes have come in. So that should hopefully get a bit of a momentum from Saturday.
Hopefully, yes. Yes, one thing I did forget, surprisingly, as well, there've been a couple of things. The 20s are back in action, I believe, on
Oh, yeah.
Friday. They're playing them in their first game. It's at Meadowbank. It'd be great if people could get themselves down to Meadowbank for watch. It'll probably be on the side pitch. We were the last time we went, Rooney, because at least I feel like we played in the main pitch on Friday night, I think. The games are usually good. They've got a new manager in as well. I know a couple of boys saw the friendlies and said they look really well drilled this time. Well, not that they weren't necessarily last year, but it looks good. They've retained quite a lot of the squad as well. And there's a few decent looking prospects there. It'd be great to go for people to go and see it. Obviously you'll be seeing on Twitter now as well, the women's team is starting to come along. A number of signings being released over the last few days, probably the most important being Nicole Rutherford being named as captain as well. She's a wonderful player. I don't think anybody would have any disagreements that have been to see the women over the last couple of years that she's the leader of that team or has been. Big goals at big times. Great player, great to see her back. So yes, the women's team's coming on nicely. I'm not quite sure when their first game is. I think it's September. It's usually September, I think, or tail end of August, whenever it is. Hopefully the fixtures are on the SWF website. Not quite made it to ours yet, so keep an eye out for that. And I think that's about it, gents, is it?
Think so.
Now, if there's anything else, we'll talk about it the next one, eh?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Might have to record it for my dad, so we might have a couple of big slobbery dogs just moving in the background, like, but it'll be a bit entertaining for a change. It's usually car alarms or ambulances or something. Anyway, you've got a couple of dogs instead.
Exactly.
Aye. Aye. Anyway. Right. Okay, then. So, from that, thanks for listening, citizens. And it's a good night for Mr. Rooney.
Good night.
And goodbye for Mr. Moncrief.
See you, everyone.
And it's a goodbye from me, the right Rev. Goodbye.